You're listening to the Gym Class Podcast, KGYM Sports Radio.
On this sunny Monday, we welcome you into the gym class here in KGYM. 1600 AM, as well as 102.3 FM in Cedar Rapids, 106.3 FM in Iowa City, as well as KGYM radio stream, your mobile app, and your smart speakers. Scott Unash with you. Buttons on the other side of the glass once again here today. And Mark Dukes will join me in a moment from his home on the southwest side of Cedar Rapids. Lots to get to from a very busy sports weekend and a very busy Monday. We'll talk a little college basketball, the Elite Eight getting started tonight. You can hear it right here beginning at 6 o'clock on all of our frequencies right here on KGYM. Some college football news, spring football underway in Iowa City, and we will talk about that. A depth chart is out as far as Iowa football. Don't read too much into it. That, according to head coach Kirk Ferentz from earlier on today. He met the media as well as Gary Barta, the Iowa athletic director. And so a lot to talk about here on the program. Love to have you join us. 319-366-1600. That is a text line available to you. Again, 319-366-1600. That is also our phone line available to you as well at 319-366-1600. And yeah, we got the Elite Eight coming up tonight. We'll talk about that. Don't forget, we're still looking for that one $500 winner as far as our grand prize in the KGYM Bracket Challenge presented by Imon Communications. I think it's more, I don't know, Mark, is it to the point now of having who, I mean, is it the guy that comes out or gal that comes out the best as far as all these upsets that have been parading down the alley over the last, what, week and a half or so? The lone survivor, I guess, of our KGYM Imon Communications Bracket Challenge. Is that a better way to put it?
Well, I think so. I think the leaders up to this point have correctly identified the Oregon States and the UCLAs and to a certain extent, you know, the 15 seeds that won a game or two and have really cashed in on that. So right now, Kaz Daddy in the lead.
Did they have Oregon State going to the Elite Eight?
Well, I can look. I know it has Gonzaga to win it. Second place right now, Todd Keith has Michigan to win it. Kaz Daddy's bracket here. Let me see.
We can reveal this, can't we? I think we can.
Yeah, he's got Gonzaga and USC. He's got Baylor and Arkansas.
Very good.
Has Michigan and had Colorado. It's been pretty. Yeah, Michigan, UCLA, got Oregon State, Houston. That's pretty impressive.
That is impressive. Very impressive out there. You like Houston from the get-go, too, so kudos to you out there, Mark.
Well, thanks. That's about the only thing I've gotten halfway right. But Houston will have an opportunity to go to the Final Four where I had it. I got Gonzaga, which most people do, but I believe I had Florida State advancing I had Alabama. And of course has gone by the wayside as well.
Yeah, they certainly have. 319-366-1600 as we come your way on this Monday edition of the Gym Class right here on KGYM. A lot to get to. As we mentioned, we have the Elite Eight coming up tonight with games coming your way from Indianapolis. As tonight it will be on Monday evening, getting things started tonight with the lid lifter between Oregon State and the Houston Cougars. Can Kelvin Sampson, can he strike midnight to the Cinderella Oregon State Beavers? That is game number one. Game number two, the marquee matchup tonight, Baylor and Arkansas. Baylor, the lone Big 12 team left. You've got a total of, what, three Pac-12 teams left. You had to lose one last night in the Oregon-USC game. There was no other choice. So you've got that going. You got three of those. You've got one Big Ten team from the great year that they had. One Big 12 team. You have in the Elite Eight, one from the SEC, one from the West Coast Conference, and one from the American Athletic Conference. That is what you have left. So pretty good representation across the board. Pac, this has still been the Pac-12's tournament. There is no doubt. Even if they fall flat in their face from here on in, I think the big storyline of the first couple of weekends of this tournament, Mark, has been the Pac-12.
I don't think there's any question about it. And four of the elite, or four of the Sweet 16, and three of the Elite Eight from that league. I mean, Oregon State and UCLA are clearly the stories right now. Oregon State would not have been in this tournament had it not won its conference tournament.
True.
But yet here the Beavers are on the doorstep of the Final Four. It's quite a story. UCLA had to play its way in, beating Michigan State. Not play in. I know people don't like that. First four victory, what have you. But you get my point. And UCLA has a Cedar Rapids tie to it in one Tiger Campbell. And we'll talk to Michael Oss about that because he has posted a story about why Tiger Campbell is introduced as being from Cedar Rapids, Iowa, even though he hasn't lived here since the seventh grade. So those two teams. And frankly, I've got to give Michigan credit. I had Michigan going out after the second round. Not that I know anything by any means, of course. But Juwan Howard's done a really nice job without Isaiah Livers in the lineup, and they look solid.
They do. They do. They look very, very solid indeed. And Michigan will be going at it coming up tomorrow night in the last game of the evening between the Wolverines and the UCLA Bruins. 319-366-1600. If you'd like to weigh in, that is a text line. Phone line available to you as well. 319-366-1600. So we got NCAA basketball coming your way this evening, and we'll talk a little bit more about that as we get into the program here today. Let's start, though, with some football news, Mark. College football, spring football. Nice day, a little bit windy, about a 5-club win, wouldn't you say? we'll see. The Iowa football team getting ready to start spring football today. And Kirk Ferentz, as well as Gary Barta, talking with the media a little earlier on today. We have a depth chart. Take it for what it's worth, I guess, according to Kirk Ferentz.
Yeah, Barta kicked things off, and I guess the main point he made there was that he expected fans to be in Kinnick Stadium come this fall. Did not mention a percentage. That's yet to be determined if there are fans in the stands. But and then Kirk Ferentz elaborated. He's hopeful of having media and a few fans at a couple of the practices during this spring session. Otherwise, it wasn't a whole lot of news. An endowment for the head coaching football position was announced today. A significant amount of money in that regard. But other than that, the depth chart is what it is, and it's fluid. It's going to change this spring. It's going to change in the fall. But by and large, that was that from Kirk Ferentz today.
Yeah, it was. You mentioned the endowment coming from the folks that run the world's biggest truck stop in LeClaire. The Moons are
Walcott.
Yeah. Did I say LeClaire? I meant Walcott. Yeah. I'm sorry. LeClaire is over on the river, and Walcott, yes. I apologize to everyone in the Quad Cities.
it's the Moon family, Will and Renee Moon. They own the world's largest truck stop. Will's parents actually owned it before this couple, but it's a $10 million endowment, a $5 million for the head coaching position, $3 million for football and other initiatives that Gary Barta might put his finger on and say, we're going to do this. And another $2 million for North End Zone revitalization. So everybody's been to the world's largest truck stop one time or another, right?
Yeah, I have several hundred dollars probably in tied into that endowment.
So you're part of the endowment, huh?
Yeah, I think anyone who's stopped there has been in part of the endowment. But thanks to the Moon family for helping Iowa football on and off the field, as far as that is concerned. You mentioned the depth chart here at 314. And Kirk Ferentz let everybody know, hey, this is fluid. He gave the usual, you know, talk before spring football is concerned. Still, Spencer Petras ahead of Alex Padilla at the quarterback spot. The wide receivers right now, Tyrone Tracy and Max Cooper at one receiver spot. Nico Reganey and Charlie Jones at the other. You've got across the front, left tackle Jack Plum, Kyler Schott out of North Lynn at left guard. Solon's Tyler Linderbaum, of course, at center. Justin Britt at right guard and Cody Entz at the right tackle spot. That's some of the offensive thing. Defense, a couple of notes. Jack Campbell, now the weak side linebacker, entrenched at number one right there with Seth Benson, now the middle linebacker, the junior out of Sioux Falls, South Dakota, Washington. And also, front line, a couple of interesting little notes there. Folks that have moved in. Logan Jones, the redshirt freshman from Council Bluffs Lewis Central, in there at the number two spot at left tackle, at least right now. And also, Chris Ream is in there, the sophomore out of Van Meter, the 6'7", 255-pounder, who was kind of a project coming out of Van Meter. But he has jumped in there at second string now at the right defensive end behind Zach Van Valkenburg. So a couple news and notes. Quinn Schulte in there from Xavier at backup free safety behind Jack Kerner from Dowling. And then also should mention on the offensive line, Josh Volk of Xavier is in there as the backup right guard behind Justin Britt. Redshirt freshman, 6'4", 315 pounds right now for Josh Volk.
Yeah, some interesting names there. I looked at the defensive line, and there's definitely going to be some new names in there. And it's interested to see how that position group develops. Big things are in store, I think, for Jack Campbell, the linebacker out of Cedar Falls, who played very early in his career and just has developed into a wonderful player. Rangy, quick. Sure tackler. I expect a big year out of him.
I would agree. I think he's going to be very good in there. And in fact, I think Iowa's linebacker spot duo back there, along with Dane Belton, of course, who is the cash guy. I think Iowa's in pretty good shape in the back half of things. If that defensive line comes around, things could be good for the Hawkeyes. 17 coming up on 18 minutes past the hour of 3 o'clock here on the Gym Class on KGYM. Mike Halas will join us coming up here in about 15 minutes or so as we talk with Mike. Plenty to discuss college basketball-wise. One big headline from yesterday and this morning, Mark, is that the Big Ten has a complete list of head coaches now. As, in fact, we got a couple of pieces of coaching news. One of those in the Big Ten. Mike Woodson is the new coach for the Indiana Hoosiers. Longtime coach in the National Basketball Association, making the jump back to college basketball to his alma mater. And, again, talking with folks in the know in Indiana, even though he's a Hoosier, it's all over the spectrum as far as people for and against this hire by the Hoosiers.
Yeah, and he quickly becomes the second oldest coach in the Big Ten. Not that that means everything, but Mike Woodson has never been a college head coach. But I think this is sort of a Juwan Howard type play that Indiana is making. And I don't think you can underestimate either that Indiana also hired former Ohio State coach Thad Matta to be associate athletic yes. director in charge of men's basketball. So I was reported Mata had a bit of a health problem at one time, but him joining the program as well, I think, is kind of significant.
A lot of people are saying that Thad Mata is the security blanket, that if things go wrong with Mike Woodson, Thad Mata is going to be in there very, very quickly if his health allows him to do that. And he is going to be a very good sounding board as far as Mike Woodson. They are all very happy about that. Not so much about Mike Woodson, at least some people anyway. We'll see. It's going to be a roll of the dice. I think that we can all agree as far as that is concerned. And how can he get along with some of the younger personnel, especially in 2021 when you got over 1,000 people in the transfer portal already? Indiana's basically starting anew next year. Who knows who's going to be on the roster for the Hoosiers because they've lost a lot of folks to the transfer portal so far. So it remains to be seen. It's a job that was probably offered, or at least the extended interview offers to several big-time people out there, and you can pretty much fill in the blanks and read between the lines, and none of them wanted anything to do with Indiana or were happy with where they were.
Yeah, the first thing Woodson has to do is replenish that roster, because I think it's a half a dozen players now have left the program, and you can quickly fix that through the transfer portal that those players are going into. You can replenish the roster fairly quickly if you so choose. And I think Woodson's going to have to do that to a certain extent. But I don't know the background of anybody else that was, you know, interviewed or hired or offered. But Indiana has landed on Woodson. We'll see how it goes. But more than a few eyebrows raised.
Yeah. Other college news today, as far as basketball and coaching is concerned, this was rumored all last week. It is now official. Kyle Green goes from Cedar Falls to Ames. He will join the staff of T.J. Otzelberger for the Iowa State Cyclones. Bad news there for you and I. Good news is the fact that A.J. Green, at least right now, has said he is staying and still being a member of the UNI men's basketball program. He will not be leaving along with his father to go to Iowa State. Same thing with Emerson Green, Kyle's daughter, who plays for Tanya Warren in the UNI women's basketball team. It should be pretty good coming up next year as well. So Green goes from Cedar Falls to Central Iowa.
Excuse me, I'm watching one of my patio chairs get blown down the hill by the wind.
You didn't want that, did you?
It's a stiff wind, that's for sure. But yeah, that's good news for, as you mentioned, Kyle Green's going to commute to Ames to be an assistant coach for T.J. Otzelberger. And his two kids are going to stay there, as you mentioned. His wife owns a business in downtown Cedar Falls. She's going to stay. As of right now,
he'll commute. Yeah, interesting. Interesting right there. T.J. Otzelberger putting together a pretty good staff with holdovers from Steve Prohm's staff, among others. Going to be interesting to see how that all plays out. T.J. knows the Midwest, and Kyle Green knows the Midwest as well and knows the state of Iowa. And you know how well UNI has recruited in the state of Iowa. I think you're going to see a lot more Midwest flavor to Iowa State basketball. I'm not going to say Iowa in particular, but Otzelberger did a great job in Wisconsin, did a great job in Michigan and Minnesota. He knows the Midwest talent, and I don't think you're going to see Iowa State probably go to the coasts and maybe occasionally to Canada as much as they used to.
No, I think that there will be a lot of Midwest recruiting by Iowa State. Whether it's in the state of Iowa remains to be seen. I think Otzelberger realizes the talent in this state. But he, too, I think is going to have to, and already has, gone to the transfer portal, I believe, bringing in Washington State transfer. Am I correct?
Correct. Yes.
Yeah. So, I like the Otzelberger hire. It's a big stage in the Big 12. We'll see if he can handle it. And I think what you said, assembling a good staff around him is vital.
Very, very vital indeed. 319-366-1600. As we come your way in a Monday edition of the Gym Class on KGYM. Yes, 8186. Add Rocket Watts to the transfer portal from Michigan State. Michigan State got a pretty good get from Northeastern, though, a guard. So that may have – that probably showed the beginning of the end of the Rocket Watts era at the point for Michigan State.
Yeah, and Watts was kind of disappointing. He was under 30% from three-point range. I don't think he met expectations there at Michigan State, his or Michigan State's expectations. So we'll see where he lands.
Yeah, it's going to be interesting. There'll be some suitors for him. I don't think there's any doubt about that out there. Yeah, he is into the transfer portal, as well as over 1,000 of his closest friends into the transfer portal as well out there. From the, hey, this is about as breaking a news as Caitlin Clark winning another Big Ten Freshman of the Week award in women's basketball, to a certain extent anyway. Spencer Lee, winner of the Hodge Award, which is the wrestling, college wrestling equivalent of the Heisman, if you will. He is sharing it, though, this year with Minnesota heavyweight Gable Stevenson, who is equally as good on the other end of the weight spectrum, if you will. And Gable Stevenson with a tongue-in-cheek tweet today that he and Spencer should just go one-on-one, and whoever wins gets the award. And he said at the end, don't tilt me.
That was kind of fun. Spencer Lee responding to that as well. Spencer Lee winning it back-to-back. He is one of three Hawkeyes to win the award since it was introduced in 1995. Do you know who the first one was, Scott?
Wasn't that our friend?
That was our friend Mark Ironside.
Yeah, that's
who
right.
We'll talk with on Wednesday. Brent Metcalf won it as well. And Spencer Lee now back-to-back.
Yeah. By the way, the Syracuse redshirt freshman center, Bolajack, has also entered the transfer I get the transfer portal, Mark. I'm getting less and less of the transfer portal because, I mean, guys that have a ton of playing time and an upside to their team, much like that with Syracuse, going into the portal is just, it's kind of a head scratcher, if you will, a little bit.
I agree. And it's not like all 1,000 of these kids are going to land somewhere, right?
Well, I wouldn't think so.
Some of them have already found a home. But it's the old grass is greener on the other side type thing. You know, a variety of reasons that kids are entering the transfer portal. And yes, I know before you text us, coaches can up and leave anytime they want. That's a fair point. Man, isn't it out of hand?
Well, it's going to get worse, too. Going to get worse, too. No doubt about it. 319-366-1600. They are racing at Bristol after a one-day cancellation and postponement. The dirt is flying at Bristol Motor Speedway. They had the truck race earlier on today. Martin Truex Jr. won that rather handily. And right now they're underway with the cup race going on right now. Already Kyle Busch in trouble. He's overheating and had to go to the pits. So interesting. First time they're racing on dirt in over 50 years in a NASCAR Cup event.
In front of no one.
Very few. There are people there.
There are a few.
There are people there. There is limited capacity down at Bristol, Tennessee. Who, if you missed it yesterday, just inundated with rain. They couldn't have, even if the track was dry enough to race, they couldn't have it because people couldn't get to the racetrack. They had to evacuate campgrounds, etc., due to rising creeks and rivers in eastern Tennessee, down in the hills there, and it was a scary situation, very scary situation. But they are racing today on the dirt for the first time in over 50 years. So that's good to see out there. Other news and notes, Liberty's got a brand new football coach. James Harris is going to be the new coach of the Lightning. He comes to Liberty from Washington, Iowa. Very successful stint as the head coach of the Washington Demons. So he will move into the ranks of, I guess, Liberty's 4A this year in the new class system. So he will join the Bolts there in the Mississippi Valley Conference. So a good get, I think, right there for Mike Morrison and everybody down at Liberty.
Yeah, I spent 3 years at Washington, I believe. Correct me if I'm wrong there, Scott. But Liberty is going to be a force to be reckoned with, no doubt about it.
Cyclone Tim on the text line weighing in about the recruiting and Kyle Green going to Iowa State. Recruiting Iowa may be good for possibly a recruit, maybe two, but ask Greg McDermott if winning at Ames is easy as winning at UNI using mostly Iowa kids. Oz, Robinson, and Green should do well. And I agree. And I don't think they're going to go after all Iowa kids. That was not the focus of my intent as far as what I said earlier on. I think they're going to go after Iowa kids, but I think they're going to go after Midwest kids as well. Kyle Green, really good in Minnesota. Otzelberger, really good in Minnesota and Wisconsin and throughout the Midwest. I think they're going to try to put a little bit of a blanket around the Midwest, if you will.
More so than in the past. Is that fair enough to say?
Yes. When it basically wasn't, aside from Xavier Foster, a lot of people, as far as Iowa and around the Midwest, are concerned with what is going on with Iowa State basketball right now. Should talk about the Iowa women as well with their game on Saturday. Tell you what, Iowa did not play a bad game, and then you look up at the end, and it's a 20-point spread with Connecticut and the Hawkeyes. But Iowa shot it very, very well. They just could not deal with UConn's length in the interior.
No, and that was spot on. The rebounding showed that. The inside scoring, paint scoring showed that. But Iowa played very tough. And the final score was not indicative of how close that game was. I mean, it wasn't super close. Iowa had it within single digits or 10 points in the fourth quarter, but gave a really game effort. I don't care. Caitlin Clark didn't have her best game, but as we were saying last week, it wasn't going to be a Paige Beckers, Caitlin Clark showdown. It was going to be Connecticut against Iowa. And in the end, it was Connecticut's length that won that game. But man, is the future bright for the Iowa women. Over 90% of the scoring returns. They've got a couple top 50, 6'3" players coming in, plus another guard from Chicago. It's going to be pretty fun in the next few years for Iowa women's basketball.
Iowa, Iowa State, UNI, and Drake also with very good futures to look at. So remains to be seen how that all plays out. But, yeah, good times. And I will say this. I think the gap is lessening between the haves and the next group, the next level. Indiana pulled off the upset against number one seed in North Carolina State, although when you think of Blue Bloods as far as women's basketball is concerned, NC State not right up there, but they've been very, very good as of late. But I think, can you agree with me? The gap is starting to narrow. You don't see, used to be 10 years ago, you know, if you stayed within 25, that was almost a win against UConn and others.
Well, for a while it was Tennessee back in the day, and then it was UConn, and has been UConn for quite some time. Throw Notre Dame in there, Baylor, South Carolina, what have you. But the fact that Indiana's in the Elite Eight, I really surprised Maryland got beat, because I thought Brenda Freeze had her team playing very, very well. But Texas beat Maryland and knocked the Terrapins out of the tournament. I not because We're co-hosts, but I would agree with you. The gap is somewhat narrowing between, let's say, the top four or five teams, top three or four teams, and the rest of the, what, top 10, 15?
I agree. I think it is getting a little bit narrower, but it's still it's tough to beat those teams, no doubt about it. They are very, very good for a reason. And Connecticut's got everybody back next year. So we'll see. All right, 3:34. We're going to take a break, come back, and we're going to talk to Mike Halas. Plenty to talk about with Mike, and we'll do that when we return. You're listening to The Jim Class for a Monday right here on KGYM. Back with more after this.
There's always that one team that ruins your bracket, especially this year. That's why now is a good time to bet the tournament on FanDuel Sportsbook, America's number one sportsbook. Because on FanDuel, your first bet is risk-free. It doesn't matter who you're betting on. New users get up to $1,000 in site credit back if your first bet doesn't win. FanDuel has odds on all the action with games day and night, an easy-to-use app, multiple deposits, and fast withdrawals. Your next chance to win with FanDuel is only minutes away. And if that's not enough, FanDuel wants to make you a millionaire. Yes, you! They're giving away $1 million to one lucky bettor. So if you want a shot at becoming a millionaire or even a thousandaire, download the FanDuel Sportsbook app. Just use the promo code KUHN so they know I sent you. That's FanDuel Sportsbook, promo code KUHN. Must be 21 plus and present in Iowa. No purchase necessary. Restrictions apply for $1 million drawing. Risk-free offer for first online real money wager. Only site credit is non-withdrawable and expires in 14 days. Restrictions apply. See full terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-BETS-OFF.
You already know Network Computer Solutions protects your network and computers, but did you know they can also protect your business with a security system? NCS offers everything: camera systems, door access, key fob entrance cards, even 24-hour video surveillance. They understand how important security is to your work and your people, so they customize every element for you. For a free consultation and site review, call NCS at 247-7223. 247-7223. Network Computer Solutions. They're the missing piece to your IT and security puzzle.
Now at Menards, save big money on your next project with 11% off everything. Freshen up your home with a new coat of Dutch Boy Platinum Plus paint. It features Stain Shield technology, providing up to 50% more stain resistance and washability. A gallon of flat is $28.98 after 11% rebate. Get 11% off everything now at Menards. Good through April 3rd. Savings are a mail-in rebate. Some exclusions apply. See store for details.
Save big money at Menards.
Tune into the gym every weekday at 5 o'clock with Todd Brommelkamp and Alex Kuhn for Drive Time, driven by Lender Tire.
Back with you on the Jim Class here at KGYM, 3:37 on the Monday edition of the show. We've got the Elite Eight coming up tonight for you, beginning at 6 o'clock this evening, as it'll be game number one between Oregon State and Houston. And that is scheduled for a tip-off at 6:15 coming up this evening. And then Baylor and Arkansas to follow that one up as well on a Monday night. That one's scheduled for a tip-off just before 9 o'clock coming up this evening. And again, you can catch those on all of our frequencies coming up this evening right here on KGYM. 319-366-1600. That is a text line, phone line as well, available to you out there. Scott and Mark with you as we take you through a windy and sunny and warm Monday here in eastern Iowa. Set to talk with Mike Halas of the Cedar Rapids Gazette. You can read Mike's stuff online at thegazette.com. You can also pick yourself up a copy of the paper. He and everyone encourages you to do that. You can also give him a follow on Twitter at Halas, who joins us on a Monday edition of the show. And, how are you, Mike? Good afternoon.
Good afternoon. How are you?
Doing good. Doing good. Ready for some more basketball, I guess, in a tournament that has absolutely, aside from Gonzaga, been absolute, it's been nuts. It's been fun.
Where were you last Tuesday?
Where was I last Tuesday?
Weren't here.
No, I was on R&R.
At home?
No.
Where'd you go?
Went south a little bit.
Oh, good for you.
Yeah. I was on the golf course when we were, when you guys were chatting last Tuesday.
How was that?
That was good. It's always good when you're on the golf course. But it was a good time. It was a good time. Thank you for asking.
I wasn't trying to put you on the spot. It's just like it's encouraging when I hear that people are going places and doing things. It's nice.
Yeah. We did it very carefully, though. So
yeah, of course.
Everything was good.
Well, you've been everywhere, man. It's just not on vacation.
Yeah. I've seen a lot of hotel rooms. A lot of fast food drive-through. Boy, I tell you what, that stuff's no good. I mean, it really isn't. Even you can search and search for something that's semi-decent for you. Good luck.
Yeah, it's well, you chronicled all of your, I would say comings and goings, but they weren't really comings and goings. It was a lot of going to a place, sitting, getting back. It was
about the turkey.
Mark,
I'm sorry, that was garbled, Mark. I'm sorry.
Yeah, we're gonna have to get you back and reconnect with you here. We got you garbled here, so we'll get that back. I think Mark was referring to the turkey outside Williams Arena.
Oh yeah. Yeah, I had to take a picture of that so anybody would believe me. You know, right in the heart of a metropolis, here's a wild turkey walking up to a basketball arena on Christmas night. And I'm not talking about myself.
<Ba-dum-bum>. He'll be here all week.
No, I won't.
Well, but you know what? As you chronicled in that piece, that if you would have taken and told you and others before the year how many games Iowa would have played, how many would have been played in the Big Ten, how many would have been played around college basketball, I don't know if we would have come up with the number that Iowa ended up with, that others ended up with. And
no.
It's a credit to everybody out there.
Yeah, I mean, only one NCAA tournament game was called off, and, of course, it was the one featuring the opponent Iowa had to play next. Not that mattered at all in the grand scheme of things, but, you know, the tournament's not over with yet, but they're in the home stretch, and it's looking pretty good.
Especially if you're a Pac-12 team.
Yeah. Man, that game late last night was not the latest one, but the UCLA-Alabama, that was something.
Yeah.
That was good. A lot of those games weren't really that great, but that was really cool.
Very true.
Speaking of UCLA, Mike, Tiger Camp point guard for the Bruins.
Mark, you're still we got Mark's got the question. I know Mark is going to ask you, Mike, is that about Tiger Campbell? Yeah. I know you wrote something today about him, and of course Tiger has his family with a tie to Eastern Iowa.
Yeah, it was kind of funny. I was at Mackey Arena at Purdue on the Thursday night of the NCAA tournament, the first night, the first four. And Drake played Wichita State in the first game over there. So after that was over, the people who covered that were requested to clear out of the main arena, and there was a separate room where we could write our stuff. So I'm in that room, but we've still got audio to the arena, and I'm working, and I just kind of half heard this, but they said, and from Cedar Rapids, Iowa, Tiger Campbell. Well, I had heard this, that Tony Campbell's son, Tiger, played for UCLA, but I didn't realize that he was being introduced as from Cedar Rapids. So I did a little asking around and digging, and it turns out, yeah, that's the hometown he lists. You know, at UCLA, that's where he's introduced from at all games. But he hasn't lived here since he was in seventh or eighth grade. And so today I was lucky enough to get a hold of his parents, and they sort of filled me in on the story and why he wants to be identified from Cedar Rapids, and et cetera. And he still has family that lives here, including a grandmother. And I just thought it was a nice story because the Tiger Campbell is a terrific player. I mean, and he made a play in overtime last night that I thought kind of broke the spirit of Alabama.
Yeah.
It was just a great defensive play. And then he got one hand on a basketball, stole it, and then goes down court and then has a head fake to lose his man before just casually laying it in the basket. And that made it 80-75. And it right then, that play kind of told you UCLA wasn't going to lose that game, and didn't. And this fellow, Tiger Campbell, is a redshirt sophomore, but he's a first-team All-Pac-12 player and just a dynamic player. And his dad played at Regis High School and at Luther College. So I thought it was an interesting story that somebody in the Elite Eight wants to be known as from Cedar Rapids, Iowa.
Hmm. Yeah, very much so. And I remember Tony, his father, playing at Cedar Rapids Regis. Called his games.
I saw a few.
Yeah, Matt Cullen and Tony Campbell, a very good backcourt for the Regis Royals back in the day. And his father went up, played basketball at Luther College up in Decorah, up in northeast Iowa. And
yeah,
it's yeah.
Well, he was a good. I mean, he was only. He's just like Tiger. They're both 5'11".
Yep.
But Tony was really good. I mean, he averaged like 20-21 a game and was first-team All-State.
True.
So the basketball chops were definitely there, and then the young son is taking it to a whole different world.
Yeah, a heady ball player. Plays a lot like his dad.
Yeah, and that steal. Somebody I talked to... who was it today? It might have been. I had a conversation with Gaylord Hochschild.
Yeah,
and I think it was him who told me that the pass that Tiger broke up last night reminded him just like Tony of getting in the passing lane and disrupting things.
Yeah, we're gonna get Mark on the phone coming up here and get him back in the conversation. Mike Halas joining us here. At 3:46 on the Gym Class here on KGYM. And it's been a fun tournament. I'm going to say this. No, the Big Ten didn't fare very well. The Big 12 really didn't fare very well. A lot of people's brackets didn't. But I tell you what, as far as entertaining basketball, especially for a lot of teams that, you know, didn't get a complete season in, and we were kind of wondering what this was going to be like, the first two weekends have been entertaining. They've been fun basketball.
Yeah, I've loved it. I mean, I've watched a lot of it. I'm like everybody else. I mean, I wish I'd been back in Indy this past weekend and right now covering it. But for this is something that has surprised me greatly throughout the entire college basketball season is the atmospheres are not great. But once the games start, you don't really pay that much attention to it because the games are still the games.
Mm-hmm.
And it's been kind of, it's made me almost appreciate it more. And watching these games, so many great stories. I mean, I think this Oregon State team tonight is still getting dismissed lightly. This is a fantastic story. And you know, the UCLA is a fantastic story. They lost one of their best players to injury, and here they are. You know, they've won four games in the tournament already, and if they win tomorrow night, they're going to the Final Four. And Michigan loses Isaiah Livers, but it doesn't buckle. It's played great in this tournament, and the Big Ten and Big 12 still have teams left that are capable of not only getting to the Final Four, but I think competing for the national title. So, yeah, it's been a wild ride, and, you know, you hear, you know, okay, my brackets are messed up. Well, guess what? Everybody's are. So there's a reason for that. There's been no rhyme or reason to it, yeah. More or less, except that Gonzaga is going to, you know, beat the daylights out of whoever they encounter, it seems like.
Yeah, they're good. Man, they are good. Well, we lost Mark again. We're having all sorts.
Is he actually part of this program?
Well, he's not in. He's not down south, but you know, I was off last week, so he can take Tuesday off this week or Monday. Just kidding. We'll get this. I think it's because of the wind. Is what we're.
What is he using, a tin can and some string?
Wind is powerful. I'm just gonna say that. Mike Loss joining us here on the Monday edition of the Gym Class in KGYM. The big winner in this, besides Gonzaga, has been the Pac-12 and maybe Bill Walton, because everybody's going to be tuning into Pac-12 After Dark coming up next year.
Well, it's the Conference of Champions.
Yes, I've heard that.
Yes. What's your name again?
The Buffalo. I'm the stampeding Buffalo.
But what's really funny to me is I watch those. I watch those, and I don't watch them for the basketball. I watch them for Bill Walton to give Dave Pasch, get him to pull his hair out of his head. But during the Pac-12 tournament, Bill Walton was insisting that Oregon State should be in the NCAA tournament, whether they won the Pac-12 tournament or not, which Dave Pasch and the rest of the world found absurd, given their record. And not just absurd, but impossible. But the more you watch Oregon State in the tournament, it's like, yeah, they're really good. They do belong there somehow. So not everything Bill Walton says is just for zany value. 99% of it is, but I guess you know, even a blind squirrel finds an acorn. But here they are with a chance for three teams to be in the Final Four, and there's still a chance USC could play UCLA for the national title, which would make the world, you know, stand on its ear.
No one outside of Los Angeles and Orange County are going to like that, but that's fine. I think it'd be great.
It would be great. You know, I mean, but they're good teams. My gosh, USC is something else. It's too bad to me. It's too bad USC plays Gonzaga next, because I think that'd be a great Final Four game.
I would agree. Nope, still not working, Mark. Not sure what to your end or our end, but sorry, Mark. Sorry, Mark.
Sounds like the cosmonauts in the 1950s.
All we need is Cronkite. And we'll be ready to go. Hey, I wanted to ask you a couple of coaching questions. First of all, Kyle Green going from UNI to Iowa State. Very interesting, but AJ is staying in Cedar Falls, the way it sounds.
That's what they're saying.
What do you make of it?
I don't know. I mean, Kyle Green's got a great basketball mind, so, you know, and he's certainly entrenched in the state of Iowa, and T.J. Otzelberger says that he wants to, his recruiting is going to start right here at home. So, okay, but, you know, until I guess I see A.J. Green wearing Panther purple again, I'm going to wait and see.
Mike Woodson, the new coach of the Indiana Hoosiers, they're kind of lukewarm to maybe not even lukewarm about that. They are happy, though, that Thad Matta is going to be at least on the staff, because they think he is the coach in waiting if his health will hold up. It's an interesting situation in Bloomington.
Yeah, it was a surprise. On my way over there last week, I listened to Dan Dockich's radio show, and they're very tired of hiring and firing outsiders. It's been one after another. Nothing's really worked. And I think it's just to a point, it's like, maybe we should go with an Indiana guy. And Dockich was promoting Alford, which I think it'd be a pretty tough sell. But they went with Woodson, which was completely out of the blue. This is, you know, partly because he's 62 and he's never coached college basketball, which involves, you know, the key the most integral thing about college basketball is recruiting. And if you've never done it and you're 62, that's kind of a challenge. But he's a beloved figure at Indiana, and he certainly knows basketball. He's been a head coach in the NBA for many years. His one-loss record isn't wonderful, but that's primarily because some of the teams he coached were, frankly, just couldn't compete talent-wise, and that's what that league's all about. I don't rule anything out. When you look at the coaches who are in the Sweet 16, they come from a wide variety of places, and there's no blueprint for just about anybody.
Nope, you're right.
I don't know if it's – I don't know where Thad Matta fits into this, but Mike Woodson is no joke, and – You know, NBA coaches who go to college ball have cachet with kids. It's not so much the other way around when college coaches go to the NBA.
True. Yeah. You, me, and Mark are maybe the only three, and Buttons, the only four people not in the transfer portal before we let you go.
No. I'm always willing to listen to offers, but I'm totally loyal at the same time. How's that?
Thank you. Well, I mean, Rocket Watts today, the big sophomore center from Syracuse is in, Northwestern's top shooter. Young from Rutgers over the weekend. I mean, it's just on and on and on and on.
Yeah.
Does anyone want to play where they went anymore?
Well, the thing is, you're not bound to anything when you do that. So you can, you know, it's basically like going to a job fair. You find out how much in demand you are. And if something really strikes you, I might leave. And if not, where I'm at's not that bad. You know, the whole Indiana and Penn State teams, it seems like,
gone,
are in the transfer portal. But when these places hire new coaches, a lot of times some of the guys are quickly lured back. So we'll see. But, yeah, I mean, it's about 1,000 players right now, and it's going to be a lot more than that.
Yeah, it is. And they're starting to sign some places, or at least give commitments anyway.
Well, I'll tell you what, Iowa State's probably going to end up with 3 or 4 of them.
Yeah.
They almost have to, and I'd be surprised if Iowa doesn't go somewhere for somebody.
You think Iowa loses anyone?
It's possible.
I think it's possible.
It's always possible,
yeah.
But I think it's possible, yeah.
Yeah, I would agree. Well, everyone pick up a copy of the paper, read about Tiger Campbell and his family. It's a good piece right there. And Mike, appreciate it, and we'll talk soon.
Okay, thanks.
Mike Halas. Read his stuff at thegazette.com. Give him a follow on Twitter, @Halas. We'll take a break, come back, and wrap things up after this here in KGYM.
From the gridiron to the nine iron, experience the thrill of the game anywhere in Iowa with Elite Sportsbook. You can now sign up for Elite Sportsbook on your phone anywhere in Iowa and receive your first bet risk-free, up to $500. Just visit EliteSportsbook.com to create an account, and your first bet is on us, up to $500. It's time to play your game with Elite Sportsbook. For a limited time only, valid only in Iowa. Must be 21. Visit EliteSportsbook.com for terms and conditions. Gambling a problem? Call 1-800-BETS-OFF.
FilmScene's been a Midwest One Bank customer since we were founded, almost 9 years ago now.
We're talking with Andrew Sherburn from FilmScene Theater about Midwest One Bank.
This is a bank that cares about their community. Midwest One Bank is absolutely a partner in our business. We work with their loan department when we had to expand.
From loans to checking, business credit cards to treasury management and more, trust Midwest One Bank with all your business banking.
Midwest One Bank really is simply better banking.
Member FDIC. Loans subject to credit approval.
When an all-expense-paid trip to the College Basketball National Championship in New Orleans next season. Just stop by your local Quick Star. Purchase any 20-ounce Coca-Cola product with your Quick Rewards card, and you're automatically entered to win. Pick up any package of Quick Star's hand-breaded fried chicken, receive another entry. Purchase both together? Yep, you get 10 bonus entries. See stores for details. No purchase necessary to win. Coca-Cola, fried chicken, and college hoops. Are you kidding me? Life is good. Quick Star, we got you covered.
About a minute remaining in the gym class here today. I want to thank everybody for tuning in. Thanks to Mike Halas for joining us as well. Tomorrow, Bob Herrig, senior golf writer for ESPN.com, will join us. We'll talk about the upcoming Masters next week to be played at Augusta National. Didn't we just have the Masters? Yeah, we did. We just had the Masters. We're going to have it again at its regular time coming up next week. A Caddy Smack starting up next week as well. On Wednesday, speaking of Wednesdays, of course, you can tune in to our Bowling Night in America preview on Wednesdays, our Bowling Night in America wrap-up on Thursdays. It's all brought to you by May City Bowl on Trent Street Southwest in Cedar Rapids. Elite Eight action coming up tonight, and two teams will be punching their tickets to the Final Four. We'll talk about that coming up as well as golf tomorrow. For Mark and Button, Scott Unash, thanking you for listening to KGYM.
It's time for some straight talk. Your tax return could look different this year, but you're still going to hear a lot of noise about how to spend it. So when the big carriers tell you to splurge on the latest nonsense, Just tune it out. With Straight Talk, you can get a Samsung Galaxy A51 for just $199. Plus, get the $45 unlimited talk, text, and data plan with no contract on America's best networks for up to 50% less. Tune out the nonsense and tune into Straight Talk. Straight Talk Wireless. No contract. No compromise.
Hi, friend. It's your home speaking, and I need some favors. Could you turn on some of the lights in the basement?